morning in our men's servant leadership meeting, we discussed the vital importance of prayer. In the series of meetings that we're going to be having, we're going to be examining and discussing and sharing. And so the men did well in sharing. I prepared some of the things that I've learned in my life from the beginning of my life in the church and things that God has taught me to prime the pump and get things going. I know Leanne did a similar thing with the ladies. But part of the value of the meetings that we're having is as the men become comfortable with each other, we watched this happen in our family club, didn't we, John and others who were in the family club, that at first people were a little hesitant to open up and comment and be honest and share really their own lives. But it was just, it's just amazing in family club as the members get to know one another and love one another and feel comfortable and safe with each other, that when they open up and really truly begin to share things they've learned in their lives, their Christian lives, it's just amazing how we all draw closer together and closer to God, because we do learn from each other. God teaches us through each other. So we're going through some vitally important things about our growth spiritually, both men and women. And what I'd like to do then in my short message today is take a look at Jesus' teaching and his example of prayer. I always love to, there's so many examples in the Bible to go to, but the ultimate example always is the life of Jesus Christ. Everyone else in the Bible, at least in the New Testament, was following Christ's example, and those in the Old Testament were being taught by him, the God of the Old Testament. And so in this short message, but I hope effective, getting you to think about your prayer life, because we as men in God's church, all of us, know that our personal relationship with God through prayer is the most important key to our spiritual growth. Without a one-on-one relationship with God, men or women, anyone who does not have or take the time, I meant take the time, in their busy lives and busy schedules, and have not learned how to draw near to God and feel his presence and talk to him like a friend, you can't grow spiritually and overcome without his help and strength. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And I'm going to stick in the book of Matthew today in this message. You all will remember these verses well. Here's what Christ began to teach his disciples. He said, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." And we are to pray. He's assuming we will pray. He said, "Hypocrites love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, so that they can be seen by men, by others. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." See, so what he's talking about here, and the way we began in our meeting, was we're going to begin talking about the private, personal prayer that is done by you on your own in a private room with no interruptions, cell phones are turned off, no interruptions allowed or planned, unless it's an emergency or you have children or something like that. Those things can happen. But what Christ is talking about here, as we'll see, is this one-on-one focused time and attention that we as Christians must learn how to use, called prayer, called communication with God, called focused time talking to God, to begin to understand this thing of prayer. And I know most of you have been doing it for years, but as we men talked about, which of us can say, "I've got it down perfectly and I always do it perfectly every day"? I can't say that. But he goes on. He says, "When you pray," verse 6, "go into your room, and when you have shut the door." So where is your private prayer place? You need to have one, don't you? I was sharing with the men when I was brand new back in 1959 when God was calling me, and I had never really prayed before except God bless this food or our family. It was three or four sentences of grace, but never really prayed myself privately to God. And I had the old King James Bible that said, go into your closet and shut the door. So I was a bachelor living alone, and I had my own little small apartment. But so I ended up going into my teeny little closet that was so small and cramped. Literally, I'll never forget this my whole life. First time I ever prayed and got down on my knees was in this tiny little closet with my head jammed up against one wall and my, I'll use a different term, my rear end jammed up against the other end. Literally. And that was the first time I got down and said, well, God, here I am. I just read that what Jesus said. I don't know how to pray. Don't know for sure, but I want to learn how to pray. And I began that way. And when you pray, Jesus said, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in heaven, in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's what got me going on prayer. Personal, private, daily prayer in my life. I didn't know how to do it, but I began it. And gradually, as many of you, hopefully all of you, have learned to do that personal, private time with God. Because the Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Seek me while I may be found. Now, God loves us and wants us to know Him and understand Him very deeply. He truly does. He loves us. And so this is the beginning of prayer. In verse 8, I love it. He says, don't be like the heathen and the hypocrites. You know, they just use vain repetition. They'll write out their prayers, and all they do is just read written prayers that are not really just pouring out their heart. God says, talk to me like you talk to your friend, like you talk to anybody. Just talk to me. Tell me how you're feeling, your heartfelt emotions and feelings and needs. And verse 8, he said, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. You know, parents know what their children need. But still, they want their children to just not take them for granted as they grow up. Right? Think about that. God knows what we need, but He's a Father, and we're His children. And it pleases Him, and it's good and right when we come to Him and say, Father, thank you for all that you've done for me all these years. And I bring this request to you. And Jesus went on, and He showed us how to begin to learn to pray. It's kind of a general guide outline for prayer. It's not something you have to pray every single word, you know, memorize this and write it down and just quote these same words over and over and over every day. It's a guide that He gave, a direction. Our pray in this manner. Use this as an example. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. So, you know, we know that we're to direct our prayers to the Father. Jesus said, pray in my name. And pray, we begin by praising God or thanking God or saying, God Almighty, you know, you hear I'm in, pray here. So we begin our prayers by acknowledging how holy and wonderful and righteous and good God is, praising His name. And then Jesus gave the example to pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's real easy to do that when you look at the world and look at the news and see every day the bad things going on in the world. I'll tell you to pray, Father, please speed your kingdom, your government on earth. We need it desperately, badly. And when we see things getting worse in the world, we wonder what's going on. But when we pray this prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, we are praying for these end time events to come to pass that Jesus said must come to pass before Christ returns. He goes on with this, just a reminder and a refresher for some of you, and maybe some of you who are now learning to pray or wanting to learn to pray. It's okay to use this as a guide, and we should, in fact, and I did. When I first learned to pray, I actually wrote this out kind of point by point, step by step, and kind of used it as a guide to help me to begin to learn to have proper prayers. And gradually then, as I learned about more things to pray about, I added a lot more detail and people's lives and needs and situations. But notice he says, give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to pray about our needs and forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is very important in prayer toward others. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's very important to be aware of Satan in the world today and evil in the world today and danger in the world today and not take God's protection for granted in this world. We need his protection and help every day. And then we're to end our prayers, Jesus said, again, talking to God, saying, God, you know, you're eternal. Your kingdom is coming. Yours is the kingdom. You have the power and the glory and the honor forever. You know, again, acknowledging God is supreme in the universe. He has a plan and a purpose. In other words, keeping the big picture in mind, beginning with the big picture, and Jesus said, remembering who your Father is and that he is the Creator God, holy in heaven. And then he ends again with the big picture of the vision of God's kingdom and his rulership on earth and in the universe. So that's from Jesus Christ himself in prayer. Notice chapter 5, verse 44. I think it was Gilbert who happened to mention this, and a lot of the men made excellent comments about prayer, shared some of the things they're learning, but I think it was Gilbert who said, brought this one up, that Jesus told us to do. But I say to you, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, so that you are the sons of God, the children of God. That's a tough one, isn't it, brethren? It's never easy to pray for somebody you think hates you, persecutes you, dislikes you, whatever it is. Sometimes you don't even want to think of them or bring their face up in your mind because it's maybe an unpleasant memory or experience. And yet what Jesus said to do, which we should do in our prayers, all of us, you don't have to do it every day, but from time to time, maybe you've got a separate little list of people that you pray for over here, maybe that fall into this category of those who curse you, who hate you, who spitefully use you or persecute you. It's good to pray for people that you're having problems with or troubles with. It works. It's a law of God, and God blesses and honors those who do that. And he will work out those situations in time, his own time. So that's a very important thing about prayer, just looking at these scriptures Christ gave us. Notice chapter 9 of Matthew. So what we're talking about here in this short and brief message is the importance of our prayer life. It is the key, the most important part of our spiritual growth as servant leaders, this connection with God. And here's what Jesus said to do as well, Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, you and I are his disciples too, the harvest truly is plentiful. In other words, the need is great, but the laborers are few. There are so few really willing to dedicate themselves to serve God and help other people. Many of you are willing to do that, and you've done it for many, many years. And this is what Christ said to do in verse 38. Brethren, let's do it. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, to God, to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus said to pray for more laborers, you know, more ministers, more men and women at every level who are workers for God, who are willing to work for God. Thank you to those of you who already have been doing that most of your lives or for many decades. Thank you. But that is a specific prayer instruction from Jesus Christ that we all need to be doing. And I'll tell you, I feel the need, brethren. I haven't said this to you in a long time, but I'm 71 now. Now, I'm going to be retiring when I turn 72 from the full-time ministry. And that's in June 2009. That's less than a year away. Don't know yet for sure who will replace me. But I'm not leaving the area. I'll still be here. We're not moving. Leanne and I plan to, all I'll be doing, I will still be an elder. I'll still be a minister serving, but I will not be full-time pastoring. Someone else will take over that job. I will join Steve Kuhn and Warren Larson as one of the elders in the congregation. I may attend in some of the other congregations and help out sometimes on the Sabbath, but I will not be doing the full-time job that pastoring requires. And a lot of our men in the ministry are getting up there in years, and we need younger men and women who can fill all the various needs and jobs in the church. It really truly is a great need. Chapter 15 of Matthew, verses 7 through 9. Something else Jesus said about prayer. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. You know, they were very religious people of the day. He called them hypocrites. He got real strong with them at times. He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" And we talked about it in our men's servant leadership group, that the most important thing about prayer, most important thing of all about prayer, you know, we could talk about when you pray and how long you pray and all that. Most important thing about prayer is when you pray, pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. Yeah, you use your head, you use your intelligence, you have to kind of plan, organize, all of that. But the most important thing to God, it's like a child coming to parents, and that little child, you know, is just, you see the sincerity on the face, and you see the love, you see the innocence, you see they're pouring out their heart. A little child is emotional, and they don't know anything but to speak from the heart. But as we grow up as human beings, sometimes, as Jesus said, it's just the mouth and the lips, and it isn't really sincere. Not everybody who prays really prays sincerely, meaning it. They maybe pray out of obligation because they feel guilty if they don't, but they don't really pray because they love their relationship with God or feel that God loves them. There's no joy in that, and there should be. And that's what Christ was talking about. He said their heart, that's where the emotions and the feelings are, right? Your feelings and your emotions are of the heart. Oh, my heart. So the most important thing when you pray to God privately, or when you pray to God when you're walking and talking with him at any time, any place, pray from your heart to God. And what he said to those who don't, he says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So it is possible to worship God in vain if we do not worship him in spirit and in truth and from our heart. That's a very important instruction from Christ regarding prayer. And then the final scripture I want to turn to in the book of Matthew is chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Big lesson here about prayer from Jesus Christ, our example, our Lord and Savior. Read it with me, beginning in verse 36. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." So he wanted to go off a distance away to have the privacy, but he wanted them nearby for support and encouragement. As you know, he knew he was about to face the biggest trial any human being could ever face, the kind of punishment and torture that was called the halfway death, where they cruelly punished people who were crucified, scourged first and then crucified just short of death. Intense pain, long agonizing, lasting pain. And in verse 37, it says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, it would be James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And so he was in such agony, if you can imagine this. And I think all of us at different times over different situations in our lives emotionally have been so burdened and so discouraged, so hurt, so overwhelmed at times over various trials or problems or issues. Maybe we can relate just a little bit to this, to Jesus Christ, this overwhelming situation. He didn't know exactly everything. He knew it was he was coming, but again, he was human and he was in the flesh, and he knew it was going to be painful, and he just didn't want to have to go through it humanly. You know the story. You notice what he said. He said to them in verse 38, "My soul, you know, my soul down deep inside me is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Wow, what an overwhelming feeling he must have had. You know, so whenever you, and the point here in prayer, this was recorded, here's Jesus in prayer to God, you know, with this heavy burden in his life, this pain, this sorrow, facing awesome, critical time. He knew how important it was, the salvation of human beings at stake. He didn't want to fail, but he was human. He was God in the flesh. And he went on in verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face. He just prostrated himself completely and prayed, if you can imagine, you know, where sometime where you're just so weak, you just maybe flop on the bed or down on the floor. And I've known of people who, in time of somebody, a loved one dying or a critical situation, it's what they did. They just prostrated themselves completely before God and just gave their heart and soul and tears and prayer to God. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. You know, you can just try to imagine him. Oh, dear God, my heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, if it is possible, God, my dad, please let the suffering pass from me. Is there any way to accomplish your plan, Father, for mankind without me having to go through this that is coming? That's what he was talking to God about. If it is possible, if there is a way, let this pass from me so I don't have to suffer in this way. And nevertheless, because he was so yielded to God and converted, notice what he added, this important thing about prayer. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as you will. Now, this is a real critical thing in prayer that we talked about and shared in our leadership meeting. Many of the men shared too on this, that when it comes to our needs and wants and hopes and dreams in prayer, we should take them to God and pour out our heart to him. And it may be that he will grant that in his own time and in his own way. But it is very important that we learn to be like Jesus Christ in our prayers, no matter what our circumstance or situation, that we always add when we're requesting something or asking for a healing or an intervention or a blessing or his guidance or his help or whatever it is that we're praying about to God. It's always important to say, Father, here is how I feel about it, what I hope, what I'm dreaming about, praying about, would like to happen if this be your will. Father, your will be done in my life. You know what's best for me. Critical lesson to be learned. And then he came to his disciples and found them asleep in verse 40 and said to Peter, couldn't you not even watch with me for 1 hour? So apparently Christ was there pouring out his heart in prayer for a full hour. Couldn't you watch with me even for 1 hour? So we aren't given all the details, but sometimes there are situations in life that are big enough and important enough and serious enough. You just want to pour out your heart and soul to God, every tear, every emotion and every feeling. And then he said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me. So we went back a second time and maybe prayed a little differently about it. Similar, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away, if it is your will, if it's the only way and it's the best, And you know that I need and must, we must go through with what we agreed to originally way back when. And there's no other way if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it. Your will be done. Brethren, prayer is a precious privilege, and it is the most important element of our spiritual lives, our personal relationship with God. Let us follow the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.